The Red Sox front office report on a playoff Tuesday is brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh, and by findmassmoney.gov. And it is the chief baseball officer of the Boston Red Sox, Craig Breslow, who joins us this morning. Hi, Craig.
Hey, good morning. How are you doing?
To borrow a term that the European writers used a lot during the Ryder Cup, are you in hostile territory already?
I am, yes.
Okay. How's the mood down there?
Good. You know, I think this is what guys played all season long for, and you try to balance how excited you can be, how anxious you can be with understanding that this is another game, and you try to keep things as normal as possible.
I don't know what you can and can't say, but how is the health of Alex Bregman?
I can say good. Outside of probably guys joking around and keeping extra distance from him yesterday, he was at the workout, moving around really well, feels good. So don't anticipate any issues there.
What about, can you get into Lucas Giolito if you guys are to advance?
I think we're still at the point of getting information. He saw Dr. Dugas yesterday, who is familiar with him and had done his surgery last year. So he's connecting with our medical staff, and we'll figure out exactly what it looks like. But I think at this point, you just feel really badly for Lucas, just given how hard he's worked to get himself back to this position, the way that he's contributed over the course of the year, and know that more than anything, he just wanted to be on this roster helping us advance.
Is there any type of diagnosis for what the injury actually is, or is it hurt or is it injured?
I think we're still trying to make that determination. A couple days ago, he just felt like he wasn't recovering. I think looking back, we could see some downtrends in velocity and performance through the month of September, but he was always able to push through it and pitch through it, and then just got to the point where he felt like he couldn't and wanted to take a breath to figure out what was going on here. So I'm pretty confident we'll have a better idea, clearer picture at some point today.
Craig, were you surprised that the Yankees are preventing anyone from outside the New York Yankee area from purchasing tickets to go to these playoff games?
I did see that, but try not to get too involved in ticketing strategies. Either way, my guess is there are going to be a lot of people here tonight, and it's going to be really loud.
Would you guys ever do that with the Red Sox tickets at Fenway?
Probably a better question for Sam. I try to focus on the baseball side of things.
Craig, when you look at playoff baseball, What in your opinion, I know everything matters, but what's the area that you have to make sure you're super focused on? Is it the pitching? Is it, pitch count? Like, what is it in playoff baseball that you think is the most important to help your team be successful?
Yeah, I think the recipe for success probably looks a lot like it had all season for a lot of teams. But just given the way the schedules are set up, your highest leverage relievers end up throwing a lot of innings. And so I think bullpens kind of reign supreme in the postseason, starting pitching, because there's just so much volatility to the offenses, and you're facing the other team's best pitchers every day for nine innings. And so when you think about it that way, starting pitching and our bullpen, they've been strengths of this team for a while. So we feel good heading into the series, but we also know that obviously New York is a really good team, and they can score runs in bunches.
Craig, Alex Cora spoke to media and said that nobody thought that they would be in playing baseball in October back in the spring. The outside noise was loud about that. Was that a theme all season long to keep these guys motivated to prove people wrong?
I don't know how much, Alex would have said to the players, nobody thinks that this is a postseason team. And I know that I think he went back and clarified that he had meant post trade of Devers. But I do think that we've had a number of different guys step up and carry the team in streaks throughout the season. Now, when we went, you know, going back to the offseason, our goal was absolutely to put together a team that was capable of competing for the division, making it to the postseason, and making a deep run. But I think when you look at the contributions that we made, and certainly we got significant ones from, you know, our star players, Garrett and Bregman and Crochet, and we saw what Roman stepped up and did, but also the, you know, Rob Refsnyder's and Romy Gonzalez's and Carlos Narvaez's that maybe going into the season people didn't anticipate were going to contribute in the way that they did.
Craig, I know every sport it's about strategy, and us as fans will sit there and we'll look at this game and we'll go, all right, whatever you do, pitch around Aaron Judge. How do you have a guy like Crochet who's an absolute stud, but you still want to be in a good position strategy-wise to maybe have to sometimes go to him and say, okay, we might want you to pitch around because I know pride is a big thing in all the sports. Is that like a conversation that you have with some of your starting pitchers, especially a guy like Crochet, when it comes to strategy?
It's tough. You're right. You hinted at this, which is something that makes Garrett so good is his fearlessness and his belief that he can get any opposing hitter out. And a lot of the time he's right. But the game and the score will dictate, you know, what the best strategy is. You know, the information that Bales and the rest of the pitching group will give to Garrett is, you know, how his stuff can attack and play against the opposing hitters. And then in game, Alex and the rest of the staff will make determinations when it makes the most sense to go right at somebody versus when it might make more sense to pitch around them a bit. But you know, especially here in this park and their lineup having so many guys that can hit the ball out of the park, you do need to think about limiting base runners. So it becomes complicated, but usually the game dictates this.
Is this why you brought Bregman here, games like tonight and tomorrow, for what he's been able to do at this time of year?
Yeah, I think we're all aware of the postseason track record and, you know, it's 9 consecutive seasons of making it to the postseason. So there's a calming presence that he brings, knowing that he's been through this before. He knows what it takes to win. And that's not to, you know, to minimize the contributions that he's made all season long, but we have a new season that starts tonight.
This team is top 5 in the league when it comes to hitting lefties. What do you mostly credit that to this season?
I think a handful of guys that really understand their roles. They've embraced it. They prepare so well. Guys like Romy and Ref. And then also, you know, Trevor has had this incredible bounce back season. Narvi, you know, I think we've got right-handed hitters that really hit lefties well. And then also, you know, we've brought up some guys and some guys have stepped forward that as left-handed hitters who have also put better at-bats together versus lefties, whether it's Jaron or Roman. And, you know, I think the way that Alex sets the tone of aggressively managing, of understanding how to optimize the matchups, it allows everybody to understand how they can contribute. And because of that, I think they've gotten comfortable with their roles and they've really thrived in them.
Is John Henry in New York for game one tonight?
I don't know, actually. I believe that there will be a very strong ownership contingent. Obviously, this is the reason that we play through the season, is to get to the postseason, and everybody recognizes that.
Is Connelly Early the front runner for Thursday and to fill that void?
I think we have to figure out how we get to Thursday. You know, because that's going to dictate availability and how we want to approach this. But, you know, while we're obviously going to miss Gio and what he's done for us all season, we do feel like there are guys who can step up and step into that role. And it's going to be a team effort. It will take contributions from all 26 guys.
All right. Well, it is exciting. It's been 4 years, and I know that this is what you came here for, and that is meaningful baseball in October. So, Craig Breslow, we will talk to you again soon, and good luck down there tonight.
Good luck.
Thank you. Much appreciated.
All right, Red Sox front office report with Craig Breslow. Here now is Courtney and what is trending this hour.
Your home of the Sox. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending Now brought to you by the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. Monday Night Football saw the Broncos beat down the Bengals 28-3 and the Dolphins beat the Jets 27-21. A wild game as Tyreek Hill went down with a knee injury. Not only did he dislocate the knee, but he tore a bunch of ligaments, including his ACL. He will undergo surgery today.
Quick Jets note, Greg and Courtney. The Jets are just the fifth team in 90 years of football to go 0-4 without a single takeaway in their first four games.
Really?
They suck.
Wow.
Yeah. Yikes.
And I thought my man Aaron Glenn was going to change things around there, you know?
Well, you got to give him some time. No?
I mean,
I don't know how that works in the NFL.
Justin Fields sucks. God, does he suck.
You know, Mayo got no time. I have no clue how that works.
Everything goes back to Gerard Mayo with you.
Well, you say give him some time. What's time?
Exactly. The big news yesterday, we've been talking about it all morning long, but Alex Cora announced that Lucas Giolito will not be on the wild card roster for the Sox versus the Yankees. That series kicks off tonight, 6:08, first pitch with Garrett Crochet getting the start. Lou Maloney, Will Middlebrooks, and Will Fleming are on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's, go shopping, get rewarded. Kick things off with Christian Arcan at 5:08 for the MassMutual pregame show. And that was brought to you by the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention's Out of the Darkness Walk. Join the fight against suicide on Saturday, October 25th at the Out of the Darkness Walk on the Boston Common to prevent suicide and raise awareness about mental health. Proceeds benefit the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. Register today at afsp.org/Boston Walk. That's afsp.org/Boston Walk. That's what's trending. We've got your Hill Notes coming up.
That is Aaron Boone on the ace that is Garrett Crochet, or I'm assuming that it's Aaron Boone. That's not AI Aaron Boone, is it, Chime? I have no idea now.
Don't believe so.
I can't tell.
Got to double-check those things.
I'm going to have to check while watching this evening or while listening.
Just like
this
I wasn't
evening.
Sure if Bill Belichick was actually making out with his girlfriend on the sidelines before the game.
We back on the popular mechanics channel this evening for the game, Curtis?
That's right.
Because you know, it's free over here. I don't know if anybody knows that or not, but we offer the Red Sox programming free of charge on the Shaw's and Star Market Red Sox Radio Network. No QR code needed. Don't have to put your phone up to the radio.
Yep.
You can just sit yourself down in luxury and listen for free. So,
who do you think it is? Is it Paul O'Neill, Scott Brosius, Derek Jeter? Who throws out the first pitch tonight at Yankee Stadium?
Great question. Do I have to hear Frank Sinatra sing New York, New York?
Yes, you do. Yeah. Unfortunately, you do.
Yeah, I don't know. It's not going to be Chuck Knoblauch.
No, it won't be that.
Might have an issue getting it there.
Yeah.
But
could be Jeter. What's Jeter doing these days?
Well, is Derek Jeter on television? Is he doing a
Fox? There are no all the wild card games are on ESPN.
Okay,
so he would be free tonight.
They'd be free.
Okay, well, let's open up the Window World of Boston weather window for the official keeper of the window, Chris Curtis, and the forecast for today here and, of course, in New York.
All right, we'll start here. 67 degrees, cloudy skies in Boston, afternoon high 73 in New York City, the Bronx. John Curtis, born and raised in the Bronx.
Really?
Yes.
Yep. Got a half scholarship academic, half scholarship medical school. He was going to be a doctor, and then he decided to make money.
Hmm.
79 degrees is the afternoon high here in in the Bronx, New York.
And you're saying that your career at Rivers shows that athletic ability skipped a generation. Is that correct?
Yep. I mean, you don't get back-to-back Most Improved Player awards very easily. So
no, it's tough
to do.
It's
impressive, actually.
That is impressive.
Yeah, it is.
A lot of room to grow.
All right. Well, we got a 6:08 first pitch this evening.
Love that stuff.
And pregame gets underway at 5. And
I get to watch James's first playoff baseball game tonight.
Mm, there you go.
We're going to keep score, and we're going to call Len Caird. We'll FaceTime.
Yeah, get you some dogs, man. Throw some dogs on the grill. You got a grill at your crib?
No, we have a thingamajig.
All right. Yeah, throw some dogs on the thingamajig.
I will.
You know? Really
Sorry,
enjoy.
Just order some hot dogs.
Yeah, you never want to order hot dogs.
No.
They can walk to Sullivan's, though, get a nice dog there.
We could. He loves himself.
Yeah, but then you got to walk back. How's, you know.
Drive over.
I feel like the dogs are meant to be eaten right away.
James has a wagon now. It's great.
Perfect time, though, game-wise, start time for game eats. Like, 6:08 is great.
That's a great time.
I love it.
Perfect. I wish all the Red Sox games would start at that
time. Greg could have first dinner and second dinner.
Yeah.
That is such a good time.
100% correct, Curtis.
Oh, game's over by what, 8:40?
Although DM's made some of her banana chocolate chip cookies on Sunday.
You didn't bring any in?
And I haven't. I didn't want to.
Damn, that sounds delicious.
Yeah.
Oh, it's the best thing going ever.
Banana and chocolate is an all-time combo.
Yeah. Yeah. You have to get the old brown banana.
OBV.
But the thing is.
Is that what she has you saved in her phone as?
Old banana.
Old soft banana?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, share that recipe. Also, your easy bake lasagna last night looked great.
With the blush sauce?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It wasn't lasagna, by the way. I mean, I don't want to. I don't want to be picky.
It's like baked ziti, isn't it?
Oh, my apologies.
Baked ziti.
Yeah, Greg's easy baked ziti.
You got the ragout in there. Oh. Secret ingredient is olive oil.
There it is.
Thank you.
You love the easy bake.
Look at that thing.
Give me a boom.
You know what the best thing about that is? Shime.
Not AI generated, baby.
No, I was going to say leftovers for me.
Oh, that's even better.
Yeah.
Now, with a baked ZD, do you prefer to eat it cold right out of the fridge, or do you heat it back up?
I will reheat that.
Okay. Yeah.
And you are eating that cold while it's reheating. Yeah. Let's not lie.
He leaves a fork in it like it's a pie, Curtis.
I may just constantly
going over taking bites.
I may, if the mood strikes, prior to microwave, I may add bonus cheese.
Always.
Everybody adds bonus cheese. Oh.
2 days with the macaroni, then that's it.
What are you talking about? That thing will last all week.
Yeah.
No, you don't, like.
Oh, are you kidding me?
Ugh, I hate hard macaroni.
That's the whole point of the whole thing.
No, 2 days, you get your nice, you know, usually when you make it, you got that 24 hours, and then maybe I give you one more day, and then after that, macaroni is like.
Be honest, how many servings did you have last night?
I had only one.
Oh, I only had one.
How big was your portion, though? Is it like a third of the tray?
There's like three quarters of that pan left in the fridge as we speak right
now. Did you put beef in there?
No, no.
No meat?
No, no protein.
Oh, okay.
And most people, I mean, you claim to be Italian. Most people don't really generally put protein in the baked ziti.
You're just carbo loading.
It's a no-no.
It's getting ready for the jiggle all the way 5K already.
It's known among Italians that you don't do that.
Yeah, I didn't used to eat meat in my lasagna until my wife's mother introduced me to lasagna with meat. And then I was like, wow.
Really?
Yeah, I was like this.
Was it love at first bite?
It was. She put lasagna, pepperoni, mushrooms, like all types of stuff. Because I've always eaten lasagna, and it's always just been ricotta and just, you know, levels of cheese. Mm-hmm. And then when I finally got meat in it, I was like, wow, this is pretty good.
Well, some people just who aren't that experienced when it comes to cooking will just like throw all that stuff in. I pan it up first. So I cook the ziti, then I put the ragout in, then I put the sauce in.
But Greg, that's so frick. You didn't make the sauce. Like, you're not even cooking.
How do you know I didn't make a blush sauce?
I know you didn't.
Oh, okay. I didn't. You're right. But Rao's is better, I think, than what you can probably make
and
at home.
And boom, you throw it in
Rao's.
The oven.
Is it Rao's or Rao's?
I never know.
It's a new restaurant in New York.
Yeah.
I don't like New York. All right. Let's, if we could, get to Hill Notes, which are brought to you by Coleman Electric. If you need an electrician, call Coleman.
It's electric!
6:15 in the morning. Went to sleep thinking about Greg's baked ziti. Woke up thinking about Greg's baked ziti. Man, that thing looked good.
Mm. And the thing is, it's endless. Like, I mean, if I want to have that for lunch and dinner tonight during the game, I can do that.
Yes, you can.
Now, that's a doubleheader we can get behind.
And honestly, Curtis, in this economy, that baby, what do you think that cost me, like 30 cents a square foot? I mean, that is delicious.
I don't even want to know what the Rao's sauce costs in the seaport.
In this economy?
What's going on with Thornton on Kansas City Chiefs? He's got 9 receptions already in 3 games, 2 touchdowns, 19 yards a catch. I think he had, 19 catches the whole season for the Patriots, with 11 yards an average, 2 touchdowns for the whole year. What we lost on that guy.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Mahomes is pretty good.
Yeah. He is pretty good.
But Drake's good.
Yeah.
I'm not saying Drake would have made him this year, and I'm not saying
I mean, you agree with Ty that he's currently top 15 in the NFL?
He's playing like it, 100%. By every statistical category, he's actually top 10. But I would agree with Ty.
CBS Sports or whatever had him 12.
I think that's a great spot.
Like you like that spot?
Yeah, and I think at the end of the season, if he is in that 10 to 12 range, like Patriots fans should be very excited for what's to come.
Brewing quarterback controversy, apparently, with the San Francisco 49ers.
Oh, yeah. Looks like the island is rising from the ocean over there.
The island is Alcatraz. That's what the island is.
Big controversy between the guy they paid $7 million for 2 years and the guy they paid $250 million.
Hey, those Frisco people over there, they're starting to ask the question.
Uh-huh.
They are really, like, they're packing their bags and they are heading to that island.
Oh, shoot.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well,
trade Purdy to the Jets.
They are heading to the island in the Bay Area. Wow, I couldn't believe all the people I saw talking about it.
Well, people are, like, they're asking the question out loud, who will be our starting franchise quarterback going forward?
Yes, hello.
Hello.
And to be fair, Scheim said that Mac was not a quarterback in the NFL. We can all agree he clearly is.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he is.
Maybe with Kyle Shanahan, put him on the Jets and it looks worse than Justin Fields.
You know, it doesn't surprise me that Mr. Wiggins doesn't know what Ticketmaster is, considering he won't go to a concert or sporting event unless the tickets are comped.
That is very true. I do know what Ticketmaster is, but I didn't realize that the teams could.
They can't. Major League Baseball needs to step in this one. That's just ridiculous. And it's not good for the game, as I said earlier.
Right.
Like, you don't want Sox fans there tonight? Making some noise, enjoying the experience, like what?
I just love it how pathetic it makes the Yankees look, like you children.
And they'll try to say, well, we're just trying to amp up, you know, the home field advantage, and we have every right to, but that's
why doesn't
nuts.
Every team do that in every sport if that's the case? I didn't even know that could be done.
How about you just hope that your fans pay for the tickets?
Right.
Imagine an L.A. team did that. The stadium would be empty.
Yeah.
My boy Scheim coming through with the stats from my boy Bayo. Let's go. Love you, Scheim.
Is that a Ken note?
Good info this morning during your lead, Scheim.
Thank
for
you.
Tomorrow night and baby Pedro.
Yeah, 3-1 with a 1-0 decision in 5 appearances at Yankee Stadium. He has under a 1.5 ERA and averages over 6 innings pitched an outing.
Pretty good.
So very excited for Bayo in game 2.
Just stay away from the judge.
And then I guess should it get to game 3, I don't know that Breslow was full confidence on Connolly early.
No.
So
I don't know what he's going to do on that one.
Yeah. And John Henry not in New York.
Where do you think he is?
Could be anywhere. Pittsburgh.
I mean, Liverpool's at the top of the table, Curtis.
Yeah. EPL.
Hey, Curtis, can you give me a weather report? I'm going to be mowing my lawn later. I want to know if I'll be sweltering in the heat. Thank you.
Perfect day for it. Great question. It's going to be in the low to mid-70s.
And here's Jerome with the 2002 medical update.
When I was playing, you know, got torn, ruptured Achilles, you know, they only year, so it's still the same now, 25 years later, right?
It is.
That was awful.
It was.
You're like living so far behind in every category.
Who's done it?
You're like, what's the difference between a cartoon and an AI CGI?
Show me a guy who's came back in less than a year from an Achilles injury.
It's never happened, but they're saying that the way in which Jason Tatum.
I showed you one. Kobe Bryant was back in 8 months.
Cam Akers, the running back for the L.A. Rams, Wiggy. He got out. He was popped it in week 1 and was back in the playoffs.
I remember him. And the Kobe situation, Kobe came back the next year and played in 6 games.
All right. But it was 8 months back.
It
was 8 months from injury to being back playing in the NBA.
I don't know the exact first game, so
it was eight months.
All right, so he played in 6 games. Yeah. So then what happened to the rest of the games that he missed?
You realize that there are advancements when it comes to modern medicine.
Yeah, I do. But there are some injuries that look at Aaron Rodgers, that it just takes you a year. It's just, and then when Cam Akers came back, Scheim, I remember that playoff game, he didn't look the same.
No,
Aaron
he definitely
Rodgers
wasn't
came back very quickly.
Yeah.
Because he did, he was ready to go. He was talking about if they were.
Well, he was talking.
He claimed.
Yeah.
But
he wasn't
talking
ready.
About if they were going to be a playoff team, that he would be back.
Yeah, he says a lot of things. Right. He wasn't on the field.
No.
Well, I guess we found out Wiggy probably bullied a few kids with glasses back in the day.
I don't know what's that, what that is based on, but...
I was never a bully.
No,
I didn't.
You don't seem like that.
I was a...
Just at the buffet.
Besides the buffet, I was definitely a trash talker. Like,
I think that's what they were talking about the Jalen Brown stuff.
Yeah, I did clown on you. That was something, but that's not bullying.
Well, you said if Jalen Brown were your teammate, you would be all over him. Over the synthetic basketballs made of trash.
Yes.
Can you just picture Wiggy in the locker room doing the Greg nerd voice right to Jalen Brown's face?
Yeah, I would. Oh, man. I would have rode paws Jalen so hard. Like, come on, man. I would literally brought in trash. I say, hey, Jalen, I'm about to throw this away, man. You want it? You need this trash right here? Oh, man, it would have been fun, though.
I don't know what's more priceless to listen to, but it's got to be either Curtis dealing with Jackson when Greg's not there, or Greg trying to decipher what's going through Wiggy's pop brain.
It is true.
No, my brain is...
Your brain is what?
I feel like I'm the one most logical on the show. Most worldly and understanding and logical of what's going on.
Worldly?
Yeah, like worldly of what's going on all over the world, not just in Gaza. I know what's going on. I spank you with my wand.
What's going on?
I know what's going on in the ATL right now.
That's cap.
That's not worldly. That's United worldly. States of America.
Oh, okay. I know.
Yeah,
and Cliffs Kingsbury. I know what's going on in Europe.
You seem to be obsessed with Atlanta.
I do love Atlanta. One of them corn fred country boys. Have you not been there?
What is
A, the wings are spectacular. Black strip clubs. You know, I F with their music, even though I'm a northern. I love southern music.
Very welcoming once you get past the pat down and the cavity search.
Oh, that's what you do in any strip club, Curtis.
Holy cow, they were grabbing.
Yeah, well, you got to make sure no one's got any weapons.
I mean especially, like one.
Especially in this society with all these mass shooters.
So then Travion Henderson's never allowed it.
You never see, you never see a strip club get shot up.
That's true.
I think on yesterday's show, I brought up Ponce de Leon, and Wiggy knew it was a street in Atlanta.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty amazing.
I went to school out there.
Athens.
Yes, I went to school, and I lived in Atlanta. I know, you know, I don't know a ton of Miami stuff, or I do like Houston. L.A., I love the In-N-Out Burger. Dubai, we all know how I feel about Dubai.
You love Dubai.
Right, and the Saudis.
How about the chocolate?
He's a fan of the Dubai chocolate. Yeah.
Dubai and Saudis are two different things.
Yeah. Not code.
Are they two different things, the Saudis and Dubai?
Those are two different places.
Oh, yeah.
You're very worldly, though.
But aren't they all in the, like, kind of like, aren't they all in the same
area?
Yeah, ain't they all in the...
Well, Israel and Gaza are near each other. They don't really get along.
No, I'm not saying whether or not they get along, but aren't they all in this, isn't Saudi and Dubai, aren't they all in, like, the same continent or country?
Not the same. They're two different countries, but yeah.
Saudi Arabia is its own country.
Dubai is.
They were all in the Middle East, though, right?
That's correct.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, all right. So, I mean, I was right. Yep. Spot on. We're all in the Middle East.
Got the Middle East.
Mm-hmm.
Got the Far East.
Yeah, I believe that's Asia, right?
Technically, the Middle East is also in Asia.
Okay.
Yeah. You got the Near East.
I didn't know. I never.
You're really showing off the worldly knowledge.
Yeah, I don't know what the Near East is. I can't help you on that one.
This message is for the diehard Sox fans. Just want to give you a little math. 162 games. The average game is 158 minutes. Totals 25,596 minutes. So that means you wasted 426 hours of your life. And you know how many angry Principal Dave lost? Zero. Did not watch one full game this year. But I'll be into the playoffs watching each and every one of them. You diehards. Grow up. Shime stinks.
Yeah. Kind of an odd flex there, but I guess he wants you to know that he's a bandwagon fan.
Yep.
That's okay.
I think there's a lot of bandwagon Sox fans
probably
out there.
Probably a lot.
Yeah.
Probably a lot.
And now, another segment of the... Wait. What if Hill Notes guy is AI generated? I'm coming for you, Greg.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm sorry. Try to look at these things with an eye toward the future and what might happen. And so sometimes you need to
be concerned about the human race. I know nobody else cares, but you start replacing the actors and the actresses and the doctors and the nurses. And who knows? Pretty soon, nobody has a job anymore.
I know you were there for it, so I'll ask the question.
Go ahead.
Were you this concerned about all the guys who took care of the horses when the car was invented?
I thought you were going to ask about operators, like the 411 people.
I thought about asking about the abacus when the calculator was invented. But... Yes,
411.
Bring back operators, though.
No!
Like, yes. And bring them back for customer service. Like, the worst and most annoying thing ever is when
careful,
you're...
Courtney.
Is when you're trying to get help and it's all press 1 for this, press 2 for this, enter your card number instead of actually talking to a real person.
Just keep hitting 0.
What about movie phone?
Movie phone.
If you wanted somebody's phone number?
Yes.
In my day, you used to have to dial 411 and the operator would say hello and you would say, "In Bill Ricca, please," and she would say yes, and you would say Courtney Cox.
Yeah.
And then she'd say, "Hold on. Look up your phone number," and then give you the phone number, and then you would write it down on a piece of paper so as to be able to make a rotary dial phone call to somebody else. Imagine how much time and effort that took up.
That's why dating's not as good anymore, first and foremost. But also, like, what if there were multiple Courtney Coxes?
You'd have to give the street.
The street address.
Yeah, didn't have it.
Well, they would give
SOL.
You.
Oh.
They would give you like, "Hey, I have four Courtney Coxes."
I got four Courtney Coxes.
You know,
didn't they at one point? Like,
I would
have
say,
to
"Give me all
things?
The Cox." What?
Didn't they at one point have to unplug things and plug back in, like on the different circuits or whatever?
Oh, that was if they were connecting your calls.
Yeah, right?
You're going back to like the
1920s. You're thinking of Argo.
I mean, Greg was there for it. Wiggy, that's why I asked him.
Yeah, you're going back to like
Argo, great movie.
The 1920s.
That'll do it today, Greg.
All right.
Oh, gosh.
Hill Notes brought to you by Coleman Electric. If you need an electrician, call Coleman.
It's electric.
All right, we got to get out of here and go get ready for playoff baseball on the last day in September. And Jones and Keith coming up next with their thoughts on the Boston Red Sox and game number one tonight. Garrett Crochet, you got your ace. You got Curtis, certainly an advantage should you get there when it comes to the closer for this Major League Baseball team. So,
and he's got revenge on the dome as the former Yankee returns to Yankee Stadium.
Right?
Sox win tonight 4-1.
Okay. Anybody else want to be on record there?
I think they win tonight. I think it's closer than 4-1. I'm going to say it's 6-5.
Whoa.
Oh, okay.
Sox win 7-2.
Oh,
wow.
All right.
Shine.
Oh, wow.
Okay. All right. Coach?
Yeah, I like the Sox in this one, but I think it's one of those 3-2 games.
All right. Bunch of bandwagon homers around here.
Yes, we are.
So we are back tomorrow morning on the show tomorrow, the great Lou Merlone on what happens tonight. So Lou will be on with us tomorrow morning. And go Red Sox.
Woo!
Let's go do it. We're back tomorrow at 6. Thank you for listening.